Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
From 37 to send Washington to the final eight. The Washington Commanders off the upright, and it is in! They doink their way to the divisional round! Unbelievable!
Welcome back, Grant, Danny, the fan. We are sponsored today and each day by our friends, the law firm Kondori and Murad. They are jacked up as big DC sports fans and longtime fans of this organization like you are about the success on the field of the Commanders. They've got themselves a foundation for the future. It's time for you to consider yours as well, and Kondori and Murad will help. That law firm will get you squared away with a last will and testament or a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation for their estate planning attorneys by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you, and you can get a discount.
I want to remind everybody also, GP, Oot and a Boot Friday field trip continues this week once again. Uptown Alley in Manassas. GD, all of you folks out there getting ready for, I don't know, a second round of the postseason with you guys. These shows have been a blast all season long. Let's do at least one more.
Yeah, Uptown Alley is an amazing venue. They are named Uptown Alley because there's a bowling alley there. So if you come watch the show, you can bowl. There's also an arcade. It's at a mall, so you can do a little shopping.
Food was great.
Restaurant was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a huge area that we'll be broadcasting from. But we had a ton of listeners come through in Manassas the first time. It's one of the reasons why we wanted to circle back for a playoff game. So that's where we'll be. Manassas, we're coming to you. Friday field trip, Uptown Alley, this Friday afternoon from 2 to 6:30. But let's get to the Rude guest line right now. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And talk to our buddy Clinton Portis, who was the MVP of the then Redskins the last time they made it to the divisional round. He got a win in Tampa Bay, just like this group did, to move on to the second round. Clinton, it's Grant, it's Danny in D.C. It's great to hear from you again, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you all?
We're fantastic, dude. This is as much fun as we've had in some time in, around these parts. Just big picture for you. What have you seen this year? What have you seen with this team that's now in the second round of the postseason? Just kind of big picture evaluation from UCP.
I think it starts at the top, you know, not only within the organization and front office. I think when you look at the coaching staff, the coach brought in something that the players bought into, and you can tell. And I think the leadership and the rules are the same for everyone. And when the person that's leading the team, when the person that's being hyped in the media or sold to the world as the franchise face is that appreciative or that humble, it resonates through the locker room. And you could tell now that Jaden Daniels is the face of the organization. And, you know, doing his thing as a rookie, breaking all the records, getting all the praise that he's getting, he's remained humble, he's remained focused, he's remained confident. You can tell he's a team player. You look at the way the guys react to him. He doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low, and it's just that even keel, and that's what's dangerous. He's even keel at all times, and then he just go out and make the play that needs to be made.
CP, I've been blown away by how humble he's been all year, and even now that some of these, you know, late in the year big games require that he's getting mic'd up, or you know, we're getting like the behind the scenes access to his conversations with people. Like it's not an act. Even on the field, guys are coming up to him, Bobby Wagner, whoever, and dapping him up, and he's like, "Nah, dude, it's you guys." Like he's just a different kind of guy. I'd imagine in the locker room, you can tell right away when a young star like him is as maybe not just humble, but like appreciative,
it's
like
genuine,
you're saying,
yeah.
As he is.
I think when you look at the genuineness, if you go back to the beginning of his career, starting at Arizona State, I think at that point, if you listen to what those guys said when he left that Arizona State team and how they reacted and how they responded, maybe he was cocky, maybe he was arrogant, maybe he felt like he was a man and wasn't getting it. But his reaction from his teammates back in college to all of a sudden going to LSU, winning the Heisman, playing with some of the best guys in the NFL right now, you know, in Neighbors and the kid Thomas is in Jacksonville. So those guys coming in together, after you experience that, after you lose the locker room, because the way Arizona State guys treated him, you would have thought he was a jerk. You would have thought he was a prick, you know. But the way he's been since that point, he's only went up. You know, to see your teammates turn their backs on you, to see the response, the negativity that came with him even going to LSU. And all of a sudden, once he arrived on LSU campus, he's done nothing but right. His teammates love him. You could tell by their reaction. You could tell by, you know, him winning the Heisman to being a top pick in the NFL draft and everything that he's done since he's gotten here. Even his work regimen, going in, already being ready, already being prepared, already went over the game plan numerous times before anyone else is required in the building. And again, when you get that kind of leadership, it kind of takes it away from other guys. You just start to look at the leadership, the landscape outside of the head coach. You look at the quarterback. You look at Terry, of course. Though you couldn't ask for three better guys. You know, if you look at the head coach, everybody in Dallas loves him. You know, they love him in Seattle. And guys want to play for him. Guys look forward to being around him. Guys love being a part of his scheme. So now when you look at those guys as the face of the team, it's just resonating. And the city is buying in. The city, the fans, always been great in the DMV. The support has always been great. And they've just been looking for something to attach to. And you could tell, like, you could tell by the turnout that we had in Tampa for all the fans to be down there, for us to be just as loud as the Bucks, you know, for us to be able to celebrate in Tampa, to celebrate that win, and it's been that long since we won a playoff game. Like, it was just one of those, they believe the fans are coming back, they believe the team is putting the product on the field, the coaches are doing their thing and making sure they adjust. And that's something that's been missing. Like, you're losing players, you lose pain, you adjust. You know, you're losing your best players, and you're making those adjustments, which has been really good.
Clinton Portis with us here on G&D. Clinton, would love your unique perspective here. You're in a good position to talk about this. What's going on with their run game? I don't mean the Jaden Daniels version on scrambles and things like it, but when they hand it off to a running back over the last, I don't know, you know, since the beginning of December, that Tennessee game notwithstanding, it hadn't gone great. What are you seeing in their run game that isn't working right now?
Well, I think a huge part of the run game was missing Eckler. And all of a sudden, you know, at this point in the season, for B-Rob, man, he got to be banged up. You know, if you look at him, it's always kind of running sideways, never really getting downhill. It's like he's trying to bounce a lot of his carries. I think he missed a couple reads the other night that could have went inside, you know, but it was like he was trying to get outside. So you just got to get back. Everybody is sore. Everybody is banged up at this point in the season. Like, you're in January. You're supposed to be sore and banged up. So I think it's just his coach getting with him, showing him, hey, look, square up your shoulders, get downhill, let's turn. You know, like, on contact, he's falling. He's not breaking tackles, which we kind of saw earlier in the season, where he's breaking tackles, he's falling forward. Now, it's just like, as soon as he's contacted, you know, it almost seemed like a lay down. Like, I don't want to get hit or my body or my shoulder. So maybe it's something going on that we don't know about. I just think it's more of a coach showing you, like, hey, get your shoulder square right here and make this read, get down here. Like, you don't have to make this a big play. Often everyone is looking to pop it and, oh, every play is not going to be a big play. And that kind of come with carries. When you don't know how you're going to be used in the game plan, you're trying to do everything in one carry instead of trying to just hey, man, let me keep it simple and pick up 4 yards on this play to get us to 2nd and 6 because I know we're going to get it again. And then maybe I can get us to 3rd and 2. And if we get to 3rd and 2, I know we're going to run the ball. You know, we're on the goal line, and they never even gave him a carry. You know, you look at that, like, what the? You know, put a fullback in, get out of shotgun, go quarterback sneak right there if you feel like your run game is not clicking. So maybe it's the fear of some of his old linemen. Like, I don't know what it is, but I know you got to square up your shoulders and you got to get downhill and run hard. And as we've seen at the end of the game, Eckler, once Eckler came in, you kind of drove downfield. So I'm not sure if you want to switch B-Rob out and go with Eckler, or you come with Nichols. What's his name? Nicholson?
Jeremy McNichols, yeah.
Yeah, McNichols. So just being able to use all of those guys and figure it out.
Clinton Portis on G&D. So you kind of addressed this, but that's actually been my big question. We've had a bunch of callers ask this, and I don't know the answer. Is the issue more about B-Rob, or is it kind of system-wide with the running game? Because it's not like the other guys are having a field day with open area to run around in when they get the ball.
Well, again, Eckler hasn't been a part of that, and we know he's a big play waiting to happen in the return game. Anytime he touches the ball, you know, he's capable of making a big play. But then when you look at the running game, that duo is, to me, I think duo is the worst run in football. Like, go back to gut. Like, go and find you. We don't even have a fullback. I was looking at that on the goal line. Go put a fullback in front of these guys and get downhill. You're pulling your lineman around. You're trying to get the lineman to pull and all this. You don't, everything shouldn't be a developing play. You need quick hitters at some point. So get down here. Go back to dive. Go back to trap. Go back to gut. You know, go back to stretch. Everything is like a read option, and it's a developing play. I think we had an opportunity as well. One of the few plays that I would say Jaden didn't make on the option call, you know, where he kind of, if he tossed it at the beginning, then that corner is wide open, but he kind of hesitated and then stretched it out. So he didn't have the pitch relationship. I think we were on like the 4 or 5 yard line when we called this. But if he would have got that ball out of his hand, it's easy to say when we're sitting in the stands or we're watching replay. So you can't give him a negative or this is not throwing him under the bus. It's just one of those plays that I see like, oh man, if he would have got this pitch off, that's a walk-in touchdown compared to when you're live in the action, it seems like, oh, there's two guys out here. I don't want to pitch it to my running back and get him killed. So, again, all these long developing plays, give me the ball. Let me make a read. Let me square up my shoulders, get downhill, and push the pile instead of, oh, I got to wait on this guy to pull. I got to wait on this guy to make a block. I got to wait on this guy to do that. Give me a fullback. I know he's going straight ahead, lead to the Mike linebacker. And everything else is double team, and I can just come downhill and maybe even jump over the pile.
Clinton, you had a few years where your teams made the postseason. What was the best bit of advice that you guys got, or the best bit of preparation that you guys had back in your time playing that you said, you know what, now we feel pretty ready for the playoffs, that you would impart maybe to a young coach doing it for the first time?
I just think at this point in the season where everything is, you know, you kind of get the glitz and glamour out of football. At this stage, again, everyone is banged up. Everybody that went through a long season, the healthiest teams kind of tend to prevail. And at this point, it's just we got to win 1 week at a time. And in this game plan, we should have an identity. We should know. They should know what we're about. We should know what we're about. And, you know, if you look at the defense, I think Lou and Wagner, they're playing out of their mind. They're playing great football and deserve what they're getting, you know, with the selections. So I think at this point, you know what you are. You know who you are. You know where you struggle at. You know where you succeed at. And that's your staple. Go out and take advantage of it. You know, you got a poised quarterback that's making great throws in clutch situations. I thought it was a great game plan to – we went for it on fourth down in the playoffs 4 or 5 times in the game. That's saying, hey, you know what? We can do it. And when you have that kind of attitude, guys buy into that. Guys believe, like, oh, I know we're going for it if it's under fourth and four or fourth and five. Like, we're going to make this happen because we got a quarterback who made good decisions. We got players. We got ball players who are capable of making plays. So when you look at the Ertz, the McLaurin, Deami, I think Deami made some big plays. When you look at these guys, Eckler, you know, making a catch right over the tight end. Right over the DN. That was the perfect call by that defense. Just a better play by Eckler and Daniels to make it happen, you know. So when you look at that and you kind of have a mindset, this is who we are, this is what we're going to do, we're going to lose together or we're going to win together. And guys understand, hey, I'm going to take chances because I believe in you. I'm going to take chances because I know we can get this done. When you call five, you go for four or five times on fourth down, those are points that you're leaving on field because you were in position to kick the field goal, you were in position to make plays, and then you're punting on punts the entire game. You don't have any turnovers. That's believing in your scheme. That's believing in your players, and I think that resonates through the locker room and anything that's possible.
Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny. Before we let you go, about a minute here left, I do want to ask you about the Lions running backs and just what you see from those guys. That's the number two rushing offense in the NFL this year via DVOA. They got two very different backs. Jahmyr Gibbs, who's a game breaker, was actually been at his best by himself these last few weeks. And then David Montgomery, who seems to be more of the bell cow physical guy for them. But, man, are they tough.
Man, you know, I love watching those two backs. When you look at Montgomery, for him to come out of Chicago, is, you know, early on I had the opportunity to kind of talk to him while he was in Chicago and to see what he's blossoming into in Detroit. Now, let's not forget about that O-line that they have up in Detroit that's pretty good, and that receiving corps is pretty good, and the quarterback is pretty good. So it takes pressure off. But I think when you look at this and you get a guy like Montgomery coming downhill, it's just one of those points. It's one of those positions where you get a chance to say, like, if it's tough yardage, they're coming downhill. They're not trying to fool you. They're not trying to hide it from you. It's we're coming downhill. Our O-line is better than your D-line. Then when you look at Gibbs, he's one of those big plays waiting to happen. He's capable of doing any and everything at any time with the ball. You know, if it's a quick pass, that angle route he ran, the angle seam that he ran against Minnesota, you know, that was one of those. My guy is better than yours. I got him in a mismatch with a linebacker. I know he's going to make the right read. There's nothing you can do. The linebacker was just stuck, like, touchdown, you know. So it's great by Coach Johnson to be able to call the plays and get all of his guys open. And you got Williams as a receiver that, you know, he can blow the top off coverage. You got St. Brown that's, I mean, one of the best receivers in it. In the NFL, you look at your tight end, like everyone on that team is making plays. So you got to say that offensive coordinator and the D coordinator missing all of his starters are finding a way. So when I look at that running game, I look at everything that benefits that running game. Like, you know their identity. He makes no secret about what their identity is and what they're trying to do. They're trying to maul you. They're trying to dominate you. They're trying to take over the game. And with those two backs, it gives them an opportunity to do that.
Clinton, awesome with us, buddy. Enjoy the week and have a great time watching the game on Saturday.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Y'all too.
See you,
buddy. Good. Great to hear from Clinton Portis. MVP of the team the last time they got this far, which, believe it or not, was 19 years ago. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Deami Brown had a career game in Tampa on Sunday. Can he replicate his effectiveness against a porous Detroit defense? We'll get to that next. Plus, at 4:10, you're going to hear from Jaden Daniels. He did his press conference looking ahead to the Lions game, had a lot of thoughts on Detroit. You'll hear that here on G&D. But next, let's get into how the Washington offensive line held up against the Bucs. It is a playoff weekend coming up, and it's a playoff week on 106.7 The Fan.
Luke McCaffrey in motion. Daniels retreats, throw it end zone, touchdown, Diami Brown.
Yeah, certainly proud of him because of got injured just a few weeks ago, worked hard to get back to make sure he was ready and able to deliver into that spot. And the one screen, I thought was a great block by Wiley to, you know, get it. But it was nice to see Diami step into that space. There's a lot of guys that are ready to step into those moments. And as some players, we were entering into their first playoff experiences to go, as you get into it, it's ball, you know, and you get into it. But the nerves sometimes leading up to it can feel a lot. There's a lot of extra energy. And we said, let's use that energy for good in the terms of the preparation of how we go. But, yeah, I was certainly proud of him. I told him that in the locker room.
There's Dan Quinn. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is a playoff week in the nation's capital. Got a double play coming your way at 3:45. We are blitzing at 4 o'clock today. You're going to hear from Jaden Daniels right here on Grant and Danny at 4:10. Make sure you are locked in. Danny told you last segment, but I want to remind you, we're going to be in Manassas. We are at a really cool venue for a field trip Friday from 2 to 6:30. Come watch the show, but that's kind of burying the lead.
It's part of it.
Come party.
Yeah.
Come have a little pep rally. Come get excited. You know what's a fun thing to do on the Friday before a Saturday playoff game?
What's up?
Hang out with a bunch of Commanders fans at Uptown Alley in Manassas, wear burgundy and gold, and just have a merry old time.
It's Friday field trip, so that's kind of what it is. We do the show, but they've basically been glorified pep rallies. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where it is at its core. It's folks, whether it's their knockoff from work early, take a late lunch and hang out for an hour, whatever you can do, dip in to say hello, get your photo taken with Ryan Clary, who's famous for so many different reasons. Now, a guy that's climbing the corporate ladder, you can get a picture with him before he becomes CEO of everything. Like, there's a whole bunch of different reasons to come out, and they're all good.
What year is it currently projected that Clary will take over for David Field as the CEO of Odyssey? I'm going to say, what is it, 2025 right now, barely. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say by 2031, Clary's the CEO of Odyssey, respectfully to David Field.
Respectfully.
I will say that he passes the torch to Clary because he's so inspired by him that he thinks that's what's best for the business, and then he just goes and like golfs and counts money.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a visionary like this who's also playing by all the right corporate rules,
right,
that's the perfect storm for leadership. So the over-under is 2031 and a half. You know what I mean? The hook, of course, is the crook. To me, it's a 2033 thing because I think a couple of guys in charge are going to hang on a little bit longer than you think. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to – Ryan's going to have to wrestle it away from them, figuratively and HR compliantly, of course.
Before we bring in corporate Claire with some thoughts on just how far he's climbed the ladder at this point, I actually want to tag in the people that sit with him every single day, all day long, and that's Dad, Darris Dairmann.
Oh, that.
And Toby Altizer.
Toby.
This is a developing situation. Clary walks around here every day, all day, like he's a Detroit Lions fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's his big... His identity on this earth, essentially, has become Jared Goff defender, Lions advocate.
Yeah, it's Goff, Lions, Yankees, then everything else.
Now, I didn't hear this. I'm not saying he said this. I do have a source who has told me that the words win-win were said about this playoff game by Ryan Clary, meaning the team he's grown up cheering for his whole life and the team that
Washington
he loves in D.C. The Commanders win, and what's my team? Of course. But if they lose, it's also a win because Jared Goff and the Lions won. But I'm just curious, Dad, has there been any discussions with Clary about like how he's feeling or what kind of game night he's going to have?
So I haven't dove into these discussions with him, mainly because he's it's been more businlike in here, in this room.
And yeah, when did that start?
Well, once he became corporate Clary last week.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like, hey, it's more of like, hey, I need you to do this now.
Okay.
I need you to do that.
Yes.
That part is no longer part of my job, so do this. So there's a lot of that going on now. Oh, so we haven't gotten...
There's a lot of passing things off on Toby,
Yeah. And me. A lot of things have been passed to me now. So,
wow.
So yeah, there haven't been much football discussion because we're keeping it more professional in here at this
Understood.
Point.
Understood. And when you do discuss the football with him, I believe it's Mr. Clary.
Of course.
If you please.
Oh, I wouldn't address him by his first name. That'd be rude.
Tobes?
Yeah, Darris wasn't in here for when, you know how when you go to a church and the people get a little fired up? Yes, pastor, preach.
Oh, yeah. This one's my favorite. Say so.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that. Clary's watching this guy on Twitter saying Washington has no chance. This Detroit fan saying they better be ready when they come into Detroit because they're a game away from the NFC Championship, and I'm hearing some pounding on the table. And yes, sir, preach, Pastor. That's what I'm hearing from Corporate Clary when you know, Darius wasn't around.
Wow.
Corporate Clary is not based in Detroit.
No.
That's interesting.
I did happen to walk in the studio earlier when he was playing some clip from some podcaster donk from Detroit that's like preaching, talking about how they're gonna whoop our asses.
Right.
And I did kind of see him getting steamed up listening.
I thought that was a little weird.
But
Without further ado, let's go right to the sauce himself. Let's get this from the horse's mouth. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, the corporate Ryan Clary. Is it true, yes or no, that you said at some point this week, this is based on a little birdie, that this is a win-win game for you?
I did say that.
I mean, my God. I did.
That
is tough.
No,
I just hope both teams have fun.
Yes, I do want both teams to have fun. Here's my thing with it, though. My identity on this show is kind of Jared Goff. This is who I am. Listeners know me as the guy who backed Jared Goff when they were 0-10.
Who you are is a guy who had Redskin season tickets for years with your family.
Yeah.
And used to brave the elements out at FedEx Field.
Yes.
For many, many years. Who you are is a guy who squealed and screamed and went nuts when Kirk Cousins would complete passes to Jordan Reed and Jamison Crowder. Respectfully, Virginia native from Annandale who went to Falls Church High School. That's who you are.
You're right. Here's my big butt. There's my big butt. I became a Jared Goff guy. Back in 2020 and 2021, he was traded away. He was sent to die in Detroit and be awful. And I was like, no, he's going to be the guy. You're crazy. He sucks. He's a praying mantis. Danny has called him a praying mantis.
He is a praying mantis.
Till this day.
Yeah.
Grant, you give all the credit to Ben Johnson, which is fine. Darius doesn't say much about him. Toby, I don't know your opinion on Jared Goff, but you're a Packers guy.
He sucks.
See? Okay. till this day, I'm here to prove people wrong, and you know what?
What's more important to you?
Yep.
Well, I want the Commanders to win. I do.
But?
Do you have a big butt?
But?
Here's my big butt.
I kind of do have a butt. I kind of want to see Jared Goff.
There it is.
I mean, shtick aside, this isn't like, oh, we're having fun on the radio. This is maddening.
No, it's not. So I want to see us win.
Yeah, but you can't just say that and then it ends.
No, yes, I can. I can root for both things. As long as Jared Goff plays well,
oh my God,
I don't care.
Okay, so you're rooting for Jared Goff to light it up in a Commanders win.
Yes, that would be...
So here's the question.
Yep.
Yes.
Lions have the football. They are driving. It's a shootout. The score is 50-46.
Okay.
There's 4 seconds left. The Lions are down 4. Jared Goff throws a pick 6 and they lose. And whatever happens on the shouty shows the next day, you've got to deal with.
Yeah.
Where the Commanders are on to the NFC Championship game.
The championship.
Ryan,
yeah.
Which one do you want?
I want the NFC Championship game. It's the right 4.
There,
the
good Commanders. Answer. Good answer. But.
That's
it. Here's my big butt.
There's a comma.
No, there's no.
There is. And it's like, but I'm not going to be disappointed if Jared Goff does it.
Yeah, if Jared Goff throws a dime back in the end zone touchdown, walks off as they're chanting Jared Goff in the stadium, will you be crestfallen that the Commanders just lost in excruciating fashion?
I will walk in on Monday at 1 p.m. I will look at you, Grant.
You'll have a smile ear to ear, by the way.
Darius.
S-eating grin.
And as well as Toby. And I will just say... I told you.
But you understand then what the point is.
You see.
And I will say that was a hell of a call by Ben Johnson to get Amon-Ra St. Brown open in the back of the end zone.
I'm so sure. I'm so sure.
I mean, Goff, as I said this earlier, by the way, Goff with time, a clean pocket, and an open receiver is about as good as it gets in the NFL. But out of structure, there's just not a lot he can give you. And he has played at this level via this offense with these weapons. He's got the best offensive line. He's got excellent weapons in the passing game and number 2 statistically DVOA, but the best rushing offense in the NFL. There's a lot of quarterbacks I could drop into that situation that would have a lot of success. And he's played all but 3 of his games indoors at 69 degrees. It's a 72 and sunny season for my guy.
It's very impressive.
But still, he has to make all those throws, which he has. He has had some bad moments. By the way, he started out the first 2 weeks not looking all too great. He has picked it up over the last 15 weeks. I just think Jared Goff, people just love to make fun of him and be like, oh, it's Ben Johnson, or he's a praying mantis, and he's got all these weapons. But back a few years ago, when he had no weapons whatsoever, it was the same narrative. He sucks. He wasn't that bad when they were 0-10. He just had nothing around him. So you finally give him a solid receiver with Amon-Ra St. Brown. You finally give him a run game. You finally give him an offensive line. And now all of a sudden, people are like, well, he's got all this around him. Well, Peyton Manning had everything around him. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes as well. They all have it. If you're a good quarterback, you have things around you that make you good.
Yes, he had 19 touchdowns and 8 interceptions that year that you're referencing.
Yes.
In a full season.
Who was his number one receiver?
I have to look it up. I'm just busy looking at numbers that Carson Wentz would surpass in a full year. I mean, 19 touchdowns and 8 interceptions kind of speaks for itself. 3,200 passing yards in 14 games. I mean, my Aunt Judy would do that.
I mean, I'm sorry. It was a terrible. This was an awful team that was
including
at
quarterback. They weren't very good. But it doesn't matter. That should not be your argument. Your argument should not be Jared Goff would be exceptional in any situation ever because he's great. Your argument should be this is the perfect situation. He's the perfect quarterback for it, and he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for the last 3 years running. That should be the argument, in my opinion.
And that is my argument. But I counter it with, like, well, because everyone does point to that, and they're like, well, he's got everything around him.
Yeah, but why do you have to take issue with that?
But let me just refocus
this
real quick.
It's true. It is true. Those are facts.
See, this is what he does. He drags us down into the muck of this Jared Goff debate.
By the way, we started this conversation by saying, Ryan, you're happy for the Commanders, right? And now we're arguing over Jared Goff.
This is what he does.
Do you guys see what I'm saying?
This is what he does.
Does anyone get it?
As a corporate shill, he comes in here to sabotage things and try to get us on this company line. This is what he's been undermining from the start.
Would the old Ryan have done this?
No. He would have come into the commercial break and chucked and jive and like joked with me and be like, hit the praying mantis in the NFC title game. The focal point here should be if and when they beat Washington, he's going to come in here with a full suit, suspenders, snap them a couple of times and start throwing ones and tens on the table because of how money Jared Goff is. That's the point. He's going to have glee in his heart, his dark corporate heart, when Detroit wins. That's the point.
Somebody would like to know here what the capital in the state where Jared Goff plays his games is, Mr. Lions fan.
It's Ann Arbor, right?
That would be incorrect.
It would be incorrect. Yeah. All right.
Lions guy. Mr. Lion. Can I actually, real quick, can I get a little Ryan Explains It All music? It's been a while.
Do we still have it?
Yeah.
Or did he get rid of it with the corporate mandate?
Give us a detailed breakdown on Detroit, Michigan, please. I want to know the state bird, the state tree, anything you know about their exports, what they like to do. What's big in Detroit? Tell us all about the places you'd want to visit if you went there. What do we know?
Well, there is a bridge that goes over to Canada. I'd be pretty psyched to go to Canada. I've never been there. So I do know Detroit has that. They've also had Detroit-style pizza. And Detroit-style pizza, I get sized for. It's like a French bread. I mean, it is silly pizza there. It's a square slice, I believe. I mean, it's one of the best pizzas out there, in my opinion. I think it goes toe-to-toe with New York.
I actually think that Detroit pizza is slept on.
It's slept on.
It's made better by a great offensive line, exceptional running backs, and Ben Johnson.
That's a good zing.
But it's a good pizza.
Good zing by you.
It's fine pizza. Nothing wrong with it. You give that pizza time and an open receiver, it's going to put up 4,035. No doubt. Thank you,
guys. Oh, thank you.
Anything else about Detroit we need to know, Clary?
Nothing.
Yep.
JG16 resides there. That's all we needed to know.
I think he covered it. Canada's close by, and they have pizza. So I think he knows Detroit.
Come on.
Long-time Detroit guy.
Look, I'm just glad that no matter what happens this weekend, you'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
You'll be happy. Again, the quote was, it's a win-win for me.
It's a win-win.
Just the biggest game in the team's history over the last 30-plus years. Grant and Danny on the Fan. I do want to get into if De'Ami Brown can replicate last week. Talk about the O-line. We'll get you a double play as well. All ahead of the top of the hour in the Blitz on G&D. We got a double play coming your way in a moment. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Dyami Brown tied Terry McLaurin for the team high in Tampa in receiving yards in what was a tremendous performance. Nobody really saw it coming, by the way, because he hasn't done that. He's had one great game in his career that statistically was better than the Bucs outing, and that was the two-touchdown game against the Titans from Carson Wentz, where he caught a couple of deep balls for scores, including a 75-yarder to begin a drive. But he went 5 for 89. He was running people over. He was making people miss.
Sensational.
The dig route, you know, middle of the field, one of my favorite concepts, right, where he catches a ball. You don't see that a ton in this offense, but it was like a plenty of time, clean pocket. Daniels makes a big-time throw, and he makes the catch to get across the 50 on 3rd and 6. Dyami Brown, man. Like, that's a Terry McLaurin play.
I mean, just look like one of those regular, really good NFL wide receivers. Like a guy that just hasn't done that very much at all. And if you're like, you're beating up on him, I got numbers. You know what I mean? We got years where like fullbacks are out targeting and out gaining him routinely. Like, not impactful at all. But like, hey, that time he had a big game. Like, you remember those on one hand. And he was so critical, so important, and excellent in that wild card game.
Why couldn't he do something similar again in this game? McLaurin's going to get a lot of attention. The Lions are not great defensively. Their secondary is as porous as a spaghetti strainer. They're going to give up some big plays. He's the guy in this offense that can take the lid off. I don't see why he can't go 5 or 6 for 70 to 90 again.
So the way they've been using him, to me, I would have taken, which was, not, I mean, talking about previous to Tampa Bay, those end arounds, the bubble screens, having him throw a pass, by the way, that should have been caught for a touchdown by Zacchaeus a couple of weeks ago against Dallas. Using him as a little bit gadget, a little bit kind of close to the line of scrimmage, navigating almost like once you get it in his hands, it's like a punt return. He was excelling at that. And I go, okay, that's how they've got him categorized. Well, this was full-on dynamic NFL wide receiver, whole route tree type stuff that you haven't seen much of from him. He'd been kind of a one-trick pony previously going deep. This year, it's been a lot more, you know, almost like that slot receiver role, but set up to the outside. So if he's got that again, you may have found something. I'm not counting on it, but I suppose it certainly could happen because you said that everything sets up. If I'm Detroit, if I'm Aaron Glenn and company in Detroit, I'm going, it just can't be 17. It can't be. I will make this cast of whoever else beat me. It's not going to be Terry McLaurin. And that everyone else, that includes Dyami Brown.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's squeeze in a quick double play. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
So I texted you guys about this on Saturday. I've got to shout this out respectfully to the local Washington 53. The biggest one of the weekend was not Washington over Tampa Bay.
Oh, boy.
It was the green team in basketball over Team White. Now, what's going on with the green team? Each team's got 7 players, normal 5-on-5. They want to make sure everyone gets playing time. Well, you have bad luck. 2 guys are sick. 1 kid had a conflict. So the league did the right thing. They didn't cancel the game. They go, let's just do 4-on-4. The white team had 1 kid missing, so they had a bunch of subs. No problem. Well, here's what throws a wrench in the gears. Just happened to be my son. Fouls out of the game. He was very aggressive. Had 3 fouls in the first quarter. He's trying to send a message. That message is, I don't really want to play defense for that long. I'm going to use my hands and maybe reach in. Anyway, point is, I thought one call was kind of tough, but the others were 100% fouls. Point is, he fouls out. So it's a tie game at the point that he fouls out. So instead of doing what I would have done and said, hey, we only have 4. Let's let the white team add an extra player to make it 5-on-4, right? That would have made sense to me to do it that way. Thereby, everybody gets to play. They said, no, here's what the rule is. We're not going to use common sense. We're just going to do this. It's got to be 4-on-3. Let's like hockey overtime, like a penalty's committed, no T. So with 3 players and my guy, you know, feet is on the sideline, sitting there sipping water, you got Adrian, you got Hudson, and you got my guy Hayden getting after it. They go on a 10-0 run to win the game by 10, 4-on-3. I have never seen anything like it. Hero stuff, stuff of legend. They're going to be talking about that in that gymnasium 4 minutes at a time, and no one's going to think about it again. But it should be in the all-time halls. Like, when you get to Valhalla, they should be like, you guys remember that time that the green team beat the white team 4-on-3? every rebound, every loose ball. Guys are getting double teamed on offense. Doesn't matter. You got back cuts sharing the basketball. Adrian hit a step back three, for God's sakes. He's 11 years old. Unbelievable performance. 4-on-3, and they won it with a 10-0 run to close the game. Amazing.
Greg and Danny on the Fan. Our Beltway Blitz comes your way next, and then at 4:10, mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels, press conference from today. What he had to say about his first playoff win was the first of 9 rookie QBs to go on the road and win a playoff game. What he thinks about this Detroit matchup, it's coming your way next on Grant and Danny.